sunantu saga mokadang tama sawana kalo ayang badanda tama sawana kalo ayang badanda tama sawana kalo ayang badanda namo tassa bhagavato arahato samaha sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samaha sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samaha sambuddhassa. So today, I would like to share with you contemplation of mind, citta nupassana satipatthana. This is one of the four contemplation in Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness. How a person establishes its mindfulness. On what? Right? There are four. So a person can establish his mindfulness on first body, kaya nupassana satipatthana. Body including mindfulness of breathing, okay? Or four elements meditation or 32 parts of the body. This is how he can establish his mindfulness. Second, on his feelings. We have three types of feelings, pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, which I will teach later. Huh? And the third foundation is mental states. We have different types of mental states. So when the mental states arise in us, it's a time for us to establish our mindfulness on it. Okay? And the last one is Dhamma, Nupassana, Satipatthana. Dhamma, Nupassana, Satipatthana covers very big. Including Four Noble Truths, Six Sense Bases, and Seven Factors of Enlightenment, and also Five Aggregates. So it covers all, Dhamma, Nupassana, Satipatthana. However, today, we just want to focus on Citta, Nupassana, Satipatthana, contemplation on mind, Citta. Why contemplation on mind is so important? If it is not important, it will not become one of the four foundations, right? Now, why is it important? Why we want to learn the teaching of the Buddha? Buddha gives his answer. My teaching, both formally and now, I teach suffering and the end of suffering. So why we come to learn, why we want to practice? Because we want to know suffering and the end of suffering. This is the whole teaching of the Buddha. Both formally and now, what I teach is only suffering and the end of suffering. And no one undergoes suffering. If you say, somebody undergoes suffering, that is sakkaya ditthi, wrong view. Okay? So from what Buddha said, we understand. We come to practice the teaching of the Buddha simply because we want to know suffering and we want to bring the end of suffering. Okay, now next question. Why we suffer? Why? Under what circumstances we feel suffering?
Self.
When you have the wrong view of self, yes. When you have the wrong view of self, think that this self will be annihilated, also you feel suffering, afraid of losing the self. So whenever you have the wrong view of self, you feel suffering. Some more? Under what situation you feel suffering? Or you never feel suffering before? Jonathan?
Craving.
Yes, exactly. Huh? But you crave for what?
Well, most immediately for me, setting expectations.
Craving for light. Craving for limita. Craving for light.
Craving for light.
Only at this moment. Huh? Okay. So craving or greed. Huh? Greed for sensual pleasures. Or greed for some progress. Some expectation. So at that moment, that greed cannot be satisfied. Cannot be satisfied. Then you feel suffering. Then, some more. When you are angry, right? When you are angry, immediately you feel suffering. Okay. Or when you're jealous of other people's success. Why everybody got light, not me? So you also feel there's something, you know, unsatisfactory in you. So you also feel suffering. So all this suffering, you know, craving, you know, wrong view of self, and anger or jealousy or competition, all these are in form of mental states, right? Craving is mental state. Anger is also a mental state. Wrong view is also mental state. Ignorant, you think I exist forever, you know. I am good, I am bad. You identify there's a self. It's all these are mental state. And precisely this mental state causes us suffering. Therefore, we must know them well in order to get rid of them. If you do not know them well, you will be cheated by them, thinking they are your good friend. Thinking greed is a good friend. Thinking craving is a good friend. Thinking self, permanent self, is your good friend. Because we don't understand them well. So for this reason, contemplation of mind become one of the important foundation for us to establish mindfulness and wisdom. For us to establish mindfulness and further develop wisdom, to understand them as they really are. They are all impermanent, not an enduring self. Okay? So this is the main reason why it is so important. And another reason is Venerable Sariputta said, even though you are not skillful in reading other people's mind, but it is very easy to know your own mind. When anger arises in you, do you know anger is in you? Of course, right? For somebody, no, until they have to wait until their body becomes hot. Then they start to know anger. Anger is in me. Otherwise, they don't know he is angry. And when craving arises in you, longing for sensual pleasures, do you know? Of course you know, right? When you think of self, after that I will be annihilated. Do you know that thought? Of course you know it's a wrong view. So even though you do not know my mind, but it's very easy to understand your own mind. Okay, so for these few reasons, that contemplation of one's mental state become very important. However, having said that it's very easy to understand your own mind. Having said that, but when this different mental state arise in you, you know it by way of identification. Right? The moment anger arises in me, I am angry. So I know it by way of identification. I identify anger as I am myself. And when the sensual, you know, thoughts arise, the craving arises in you, then we identify, oh, that craving is myself. And because of this identification, which is not our fault, why? Because in our latent defilement, there is one defilement called identity view, Sakkaya Ditthi, which we have explained already. That Sakkaya Ditthi is lie sleepy. The moment a mental state arises, that Sakkaya Ditthi is waking up and identify that state as I, myself. And because of that identification, this Cittanupassana, Satipatthana, contemplation of mind, become very difficult. In fact, it's very easy because you know what's happening in your mind, right? But because the moment this different mental state that arise, that identification, self, identification of view, identification view or Sakkaya Ditthi also arise almost simultaneously and identify that state as I, myself. Therefore, it becomes very difficult. Okay? And how the Buddha, teach this Satipatthana, contemplation of mind. Let us quote from Satipatthana Sutta. I hope all of you have read this book. Don't keep in a luggage. You waste my energy. Okay. Or after this talk, you go back and read. Okay. How the Buddha start with this contemplation? The Buddha said, and how, bhikkhus, does a bhikkhu abide contemplating mind as mind, citta as citta? This sentence already tells us the secret of the practice. Okay? How does a bhikkhu abide contemplating mind, M-I-N-D, mind as mind? Buddha say, didn't say, how does a bhikkhu contemplate mind as my mind? He said, Buddha said, contemplating mind as mind, not mind as myself, or mind as I am, or mind as M-I-N-E, mind. So from this first sentence, Buddha already asked us to see mind as mind, or to see mental state as mental state. However, no matter how many times we read, we cannot get it. Because we always see mind as myself, mind as I am, right? Okay. Here, a bhikkhu understands mind affected by lust as mind affected by lust, or mind affected by expectation as mind affected by expectation. So Jonathan, when your mind is affected by expectation, do you note your mind? Or you keep on expecting, sitting there, expecting light to come?
It keeps coming back.
You keep on noting it.
Correct.
Do you do it? Do you do it?
I don't do it.
Now you have to do it. Okay?
No, I mean there's noting.
Okay.
And noting comes back.
How you note? Do you note it correctly? So when the expectation arises in you, how should you see that expectation mind?
Last time, I didn't know how to address it, so I just said, I was looking for conditions as instructor. Mm. And I said, the conditions here, you had just given us, if we couldn't identify the condition, just ignorance and craving. Mm. So that's what I said. Mm. And I said that, and I think that I saw that mind disappear with that
condition,
with that thought.
Oh, very good. Very good.
It felt like that.
Okay, good. So now you see it as a mental state, not yourself. Okay? Just see it as a mental state. Expectation mind as expecting mind as expecting mind. Then discern the conditionality as you did. Very good. Okay. So, a bhikkhu understand mind affected by lust as mind affected by lust. So if you know the mind affected by lust arises a reason in you, you know it. knowing what is occurring in you at this moment is called sati, mindfulness. Okay? So the first part, Buddha teach only mindfulness. The later part, he teach wisdom. So the first part, whatever mental state, a mind which is affected by craving or affected by lust, arise in you, immediately you know it. You don't analyze the cause and condition for it first. Just apply the mindfulness, know what is happening in your mind. Okay, at this moment, the mind, don't say my mind, okay? The mind is affected by craving as the mind affected by craving. You see, it's just a mental state. This is called mindfulness. And further Buddha said, he understands mind unaffected by lust as mind unaffected by lust. So when the mind affected by lust, mindfulness knows. And when that lust disappears, then the mind no more affected by lust, mindfulness also must know. If you only know the mind affected by lust, and when that lust disappears, you do not know. You does not know. Then you always entertain eternalist view. Only arising. You never see this lustful mind disappearing. Therefore, this is how the eternalism view arises. Because you only see arising. You never see disappearing. Therefore, Buddha said, when the mind, he understand mind unaffected by lust as mind unaffected by lust. So when it disappears, you also must make note. It has gone. Only then you will not entertain the perception of permanent, thinking your lust is always there. Right? Because you see it disappear already, so you know it's impermanent. Although mentally you do not note it as impermanent, but its vanishing also show you that this lust is conditional, it's not lasting. Okay, now I know you go to conditional arising. I just emphasize on mindfulness. Okay. But for the condition to arise, it's very easy because this object, that object. For Jonathan's case, it's a mental object. You expect your old experience to come back. So it's a mental object that impinge your mind. They cause that expecting mind to arise. So it's a cause and condition. For other case, it's maybe the visible, beautiful, visible object that impinge eye sensitivity that cause mind affected by lust, as mind affected by lust. This is a conditionality. We will explain this later. And the next one, Buddha said, he understand mind affected by hate as mind affected by hate. So when hate arises in you, for example, you wish for something but you cannot get it. So there's some unsatisfactory in you. We call it hate. So the hate arises in you, you must immediately know it. What happens if you do not know hate arises in you?
It starts a fire.
It starts the fire. This is one of the consequences. Your body immediately becomes very hot and you want to act. This one, consequences. The second one, immediately, if we don't know, immediately we identify it. Anger is myself. If you have no mindfulness, you do not know anger has arisen in you, then the identification will creep in because of your lacking of mindfulness. So the identification will take over of you. Okay, then say, you are angry, I am angry, I need to act. So this is the consequences if you are not mindful of your mental state. Okay. And will that hate last forever? No. Sabbe sankhara anicca. That hate also will vanish. When that hate passing vanishes in you, you also must know. Buddha said, when He understands the mind unaffected by hate as mind unaffected by hate. When that hate has gone, you must know. Otherwise, if you do not know, you only see it's arising, you never see it's ceasing, then you always entertain eternal view. Okay? And when you see both arising and ceasing, you know they are impermanent, they are not lasting. Again and again, you know they are impermanent, they are not lasting. And sometimes, he understands mind affected by delusion as mind affected by delusion. So when you are painful, because this time, teacher say cannot change posture. So it's so painful. Then you say, I am painful. When you say, I am painful, the time, your mind is affected by delusion. Right? Because you identify the pain as myself already. Yeah, the mind is affected by delusion. So change to note your mind instead of screaming inside. change to note your mind. Say that, okay, mind is affected by delusion because I identify pain as myself. So at this moment, my mind is affected by delusion. Note your mind. Note your mind. You note 100 times already, next time pain comes, you will never identify pain as myself anymore. 100 times will help you to break through. Okay? Okay. So, same. When you can concentrate well, then you say, oh, today my concentration is very good. When this thought arises in you, you must know the mind is affected by delusion because you identify that concentration as myself. And he said, today my concentration is very good. I'm going to preserve it for tomorrow. Tomorrow, condition change. Maybe you cannot sleep well, or maybe you have some cold, maybe the food is not agreeable, then you cannot achieve the concentration as yesterday. Then you become depressed. Then you say, I am depressed. And the mind affected by delusion as the mind affected by delusion. So there's not even a single time there's no object for you to observe, right? Every moment there's an object for you. It depends on how fast your mindfulness goes. Our mindfulness is simply sluggish, slow. Why? Due to Sakayariti, identification view. When the identification view comes very fast, the mindfulness go backward. Mindfulness cannot become alert because identification view already block that mindfulness to act. Identification view is unwholesome mental factor. Mindfulness is wholesome mental factors. So when identification view, Sakayariti, arise, mindfulness cannot work anymore. One moment cannot have wholesome and unwholesome together. Right? Therefore, sometimes reciting is also good. Although I do not teach you recitation, but if you can recite it as a mantra, then it also helps the identification view to go away. Okay? So when the mind, and next time when pain arises, you know pain is not mine. It's not myself. Because of long sitting, because of an imbalance of four elements, then the pain arises. And this time you know. And immediately you should note your mind. The mind is unaffected by delusion as the mind unaffected by delusion. This time the mind is not affected by delusion anymore. So note it for many times. Okay? Then you will see delusion is also impermanent. It's not there all the time. It's also conditionally a reason. And the next one, you understand contracted mind as contracted mind. Contracted mind is slow and dopper. So when you are sleepy, the mind will say, I am sleepy, right? I think only few of them see slow and torpor as mental factor. See it as foreign. I think few of you. I have been trained to see this slow and topple as foreign. So the moment the mind, you know, the mind feel like losing the object, you know, losing, let's say, the breath. When the mind slightly lose the object, or the mind start to become not clear, cannot grasp the breath, immediately the mind knows it's slow and topple. And for me, I will quickly shift my attention to that slow and topple. Because slow and topple is also an object. Don't forget. Not only the breath. Slow and topple is five hindrances. Five hindrances under Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana. So I will quickly, I use the conventional truth eye, okay? I will quickly shift the attention to this slow and topple. And because I can catch it very, very fast when it's still very weak, then the moment I shift my attention to this slow and topple, it crack, the mind immediately become clear. Therefore, you know, it's very difficult to see me noting my head one. If I'm noting my head, then no. I will never allow me to sit until I note my head. That's too much. Too much for me. It means that my mindfulness is so sluggish until I note my head. No. So train yourself to be, you know, train your mindfulness to be alert fast. The moment your mind lose the perception of the breath and become a little bit unclear, you should immediately know there is a slow and topple. And shift your attention to look at it. And it clear, immediately become clear like a crystal. But if you are slow to know the slow and topple, and slow and the slow and topple, the laziness or sleepiness gain a strong momentum, then your mindfulness cannot fight with him. So then you follow the slow and topple. Not only you follow it, you mentally also note it as I am sleepy. You also identify that slow and topple as myself. Okay? So he understands contracted mind as contracted mind. For my case, when this contracted mind arises, I immediately know. So I understand it, slow and topple, as a contracted mind only. I did not see it as myself. Okay. And the next one, then he understands the mind is not affected by contracted mind. He understands mind is not affected by contraction, then he knows it. So when the slow and topple passes away, you also know it. They are impermanent, right? And the next one, Buddha said, he understands distracted mind as distracted mind. This is the most dangerous distraction, restlessness. He understands distracted mind as distracted mind. Distracted, since we are practicing concentration for the first few days, so distracted mind is the near enemy to concentration, right? So, but now since we are changing to the insight meditation, so when this distraction occur in us, we must immediately know there's a thought. Don't go into the content of the thought. If you go to the content of the thought, you will be carried away by that content of thought, and you follow that thought. Maybe you follow that pleasant thought and enjoy that pleasant thought, forget you are meditating. Here, even and when you enjoy that pleasant thoughts, you make that distraction, you make that story real because you enjoy it. So make it real, you may end up there smiling. sitting there smiling because you make your story real, right? Therefore, we must see thoughts only as the deceptive mind making up a story. When there's a distraction in us, we must see that thought as a deceptive mind making up a story. Otherwise, you will indulge in that created story and enhance the notion of self. If you indulge in that creator story and believe that it is real and it become real to you. Okay, I would like to relate one of my experiences. There was many days, many years ago, you know, when I was in New York, and at that time I had some dispute or misunderstanding with one of my good friends, and I decided to keep distance from him. So, but since he is my good friend, I also feel a sense of sorrow, right? So at that moment, I was standing in front of the window and looking outside, and the snow, looking at the falling snow, that become very sentimental. Then plus my emotion, they become very sentimental. So at that time, I feel myself fall into that emotion that I myself create, because I feel that little bit sorrow. So, and I indulge in that created story. I'm not going to see him anymore, right? So I keep on create that story and make that story become so real that no more, no more friendship. And at that moment, I feel, you know, sorrow. And suddenly I realized that, no, I have lost my mindfulness. Suddenly, you know, I realized that I have lost my mindfulness. And I quickly call upon, arouse my mindfulness and aware of this state, the emotional state. The moment I arouse my mindfulness and aware of this emotional state, I can clearly see that emotional state disappear from my mind without leaving any trace. Sometimes when you see something disappear, you also feel the trace. Just like you burn a fire. When the fire extinguishes, you also feel the heat of the ashes, right? So you also feel the trace. But at that moment, I cannot feel any trace of sorrow in me at all. I check my mind. No. Neutral, completely equanimity, neutral feeling. Then I start to wonder, is that emotional, just now, the emotional I feel, is it real or unreal? The inquiring mind start to arise and want to inquire more. So the emotional I feel just now, is it real or unreal? What do you think, Suki?
Obviously it's unreal.
So I check, okay, it's unreal. If it's real, how come I don't feel the ashes, the heat of the remaining ashes, right? Even you burn a fire, after fire extinguished, you feel the heat. I say, yes, unreal, no. If real, I can feel the trace. So it's unreal. Then I check back. If it's unreal, why just now I really feel sorrow? Just now I really feel sorrow. I become sentimental. Right? So it's real. If it's not real, how come I feel sorrow?
I.
Yes, correct. So after inquiring for some time, I start to understand. Oh, I feel it real because of my identification with it. Because just now, I identify that sorrow as myself. Therefore, I deeply feel it, and it become real. And the moment I arouse my mindfulness and see it as a state of the mind, nothing to do with me, and immediately it become pass away, and become unreal, because the mind become disconnected with this type of sorrow, this type of emotion, nothing to do with me at all, and therefore it become unreal to me. This experience gave me very strong impression. And after that, I can write very good articles about real and unreal. Okay? Therefore, distraction. And from this experience, I start be very mindful of my distraction. when there's a distraction in me, when wandering mind in me, I immediately tell myself, oh, this is a created story, not real one. Now something keep on, you know, thinking in the mind, then I will say, okay, this is a self-created story. I'm not going to believe in it. Therefore, I don't trust my mind. I write many articles. Don't trust your mind based on my own experience. So whatever distraction comes, see it as a deceptive mind making up a story. The more you indulge in this story, the more it becomes real. And you want to act upon it and enhance the notion of self. They say a man think of want to date a girl, right? And he keep on thinking these thoughts, I want to date a girl. Then he indulge in these thoughts. Then gradually this thought will become real, then he had to act. Therefore, when this thought, sensual thought arise in you, just see it as a deceptive nature, as a deceptive mind making up a story. Don't be enticed by it. Don't be enchanted by it that caused you to act. Then after acting, you feel remorse. Recycle, the vicious cycle. So as a meditator, inside meditator, it's very important how to note your distraction. All these are created story. If you believe it as real, then it becomes real. If you see it as unreal, then you are not affected by it because it's unreal. Right? So learn to see your distraction, learn to see your wandering thoughts or whatever thoughts that arise in you as self-created story. The more you indulge in it, the more real it becomes. Okay, so please bear in mind this statement. So see, when a distracted mind arises, no, it's a distraction of mind. The distraction of mind, let go of it. Okay. And further, the Buddha says, he understands concentrated mind as concentrated mind. So when in a day, maybe one or two sitting, you have good concentration. When you have good concentration, you know it's a concentrated mind. Don't identify you yourself with the concentration. Today, my concentration is very good. Yesterday, my concentration is very bad. No, you see, it's a concentrated mind. It's concentrated mind. It's produced by condition. You cannot control it. You say, today, I want to have good sitting throughout the day. No, you are dreaming. I think you are dreaming because it's conditionally produced. You cannot control it, right? Especially at night, the last sitting. Even you have light in the morning, in the afternoon, 3:30, 4:30 to 6, and reached at night, the light just no more. So just live with the condition. Take it easy. Tomorrow you will come back again. Don't worry. Okay? Just do according to condition. Don't go against the condition. If you go against the condition, then you are enhancing the self. You think the self can make it? No. You cannot control condition. You only can try the best for the condition to ripen only. Okay? So Buddha gave many different states of mind. At this stage, Buddha only emphasized mindfulness. Know what is happening in your mind, only mindfulness. If you do not know what is happening in your mind, you will act. The verbal action, physical action will happen according to that state of the mind. Therefore, mind leads the world. Mind leads the action. Mind leads the verbal and physical action. So, in this state, in order not to act according to especially unwholesome state of the mind, we need mindfulness, to know what's happening in your mind. Therefore, mindfulness is compared as protector of the mind. Mindfulness protects the mind. Or mindfulness is like the brake system in a car. Imagine you drive a car without brake. What will happen? I don't know how to drive a car, but I can imagine driving a car without brake. You meet with accident all the time, right? When it's a red red light, you know the brake system to stop. So what will happen? You will bang to another people's car. So not only you hurt yourself, you also hurt other people simply because you have no brake system in your car. So please install the brake system. Install it in your car. Install it in your mental stream. This is very important to protect you and protect others as well. Okay? So Buddha compared this mindfulness as protector of the mind and protector of the world as well. Okay? So for the first part, if you know what's happening in your mind, then you have mindfulness. If you do not know, then you have no mindfulness. That's all. It's the first part of the teaching of the four foundations of mindfulness. What's the time now? 9:41. Okay, let me continue a little bit. Okay. After Buddha say you have to be mindful, then later on Buddha asks us to contemplate conditionality, cause and effect, and also contemplate impermanence. Buddha said, or else he abides contemplating in mind its arising factors, or he abides contemplating in mind its vanishing factors. So arising factors, there are two things here. One is arising itself, one is the cause for its arising. Both are included here. And he abides contemplating in mind is vanishing. Vanishing means impermanent. You cannot see arising and not seeing vanishing. If you see arising, not seeing vanishing, what will happen? What will happen? You will entertain perception of permanent, right? Therefore, after seeing arising, you also must see ceasing, vanishing, so that you will not entertain perception of permanent or eternal. Okay. And also arising factors and the cause for the arising of that mental state. Further, you've got to analyze, investigate the factors, the conditions that cause that state to arise. When you do not analyze or investigate the conditions or causes for that state to arise, what will happen to your mental stream? What will happen?
Eternalist view. Is that the eternalist view?
Yes. So if you do not analyze, investigate the cause for the arising of that particular mental state, then you will identify that mental state as permanent self, as a self, abiding self, as an entity, permanent self. Therefore, in order to get rid of this identity view, permanent self, you have to investigate cause and condition for that state to arise, or for that arising state. If you understand the cause for that arising state, you also will understand when that cause disappeared, that state also will disappear. Then you don't entertain the permanent self anymore. Right? Let's say the anger arises in me. The anger arises in me, and I do not analyze cause and condition for the anger to arise, then for I may identify this anger as myself. Because I do not see the cause and condition for my anger to arise. Then I identify this anger as myself. let us debate a little bit. Huh? If anger as self, some people see anger as self. Huh? If anger as self, when that anger passes away, then the self must passes away together with that anger, right? Now my anger is gone, but I'm still here teaching the Dharma very happily. Though the self does not pass away, but anger has gone already. The self still there, still here. You also experience the same, right? Sometimes you got anger, and that anger passed away already. You are still there. So this is easily to counter the wrong view of anger as self. Not possible. No, not possible. So anger is not self. It's very clear. Then what is anger? What's anger?
Mental state.
Mental, a conditional mental state. Produced, a state of mind produced by condition. And what is produced by condition is never permanent. Why never permanent? Why never permanent? Because condition also change. Right? Condition also change. How can the effect permanent? The cause also change. How can the effect permanent? Just a condition for your good concentration. Because yesterday you have good sleep. Then you are healthy, alert, or you are at good state. So today you have good concentration. But before that, because you cannot sleep well, so or you, because you get, you have some flu, some cold, then your concentration becomes very bad. So this condition for your concentration is changing. Therefore, your concentration also up and down. So in this case, Buddha said, or else he abides contemplating in mind is arising factors, or he abides contemplating in mind is vanishing factor. Let us take the first sentence. Buddha said, mind affected by lust as mind affected by lust. So when lust arises in us, first we apply mindfulness. The mind is now affected by lust. Few times, aware of it for few times. And now we investigate the condition for this lustful state of mind. Each person has their own condition. Some may be because the eye sees the beautiful visible object. Or let's say, when you walk into the kitchen mindfully, contemplate on your breath mindfully, walk into the kitchen. The moment your eye, because you have to see what, your eye come to contact with delicious food, that mindfulness on the breath immediately go away, and due to this pleasant eye contact, then craving arise in you, right? Immediately craving arise in you. So at that time, you should understand, and heartbeat very fast. At that time, you should understand, craving, the mind affected by craving has arisen in me because of this pleasant eye contact. Pleasant eye contact with the food. Then you note, this craving state of mind is conditionally produced. Condition craving as condition craving. Like taught by Venerable Sariputta, condition Dhamma, condition phenomena as condition phenomena. Only then you will not cling to that craving as myself. Okay, let us stop for a while and open for discussion. Any question? Yes.
I was wondering, sometimes I've noticed that I can note, say, a restless mind, and note the dropping by paying attention to it and seeing it stop. But it seems like the danger is then to think, I did it!
So your mindfulness is lapped blab. When you say, oh, I did it, quickly followed by another mindfulness to know, oh, the mind affected by delusion. Quickly, the mindfulness must follow very closely one after another. When the moment you know I did it, now it's identification of I, then not again. Mindfulness, no.
Knowing the light and the fact that I feel like I did it.
Don't identify it's I did it. No, so it's like once you get something excited, you forget to not know it. So train your mind, the mindfulness come without gap.
Okay,
Michael?
Yes. Among the five hindrances, I can at least recognize four of them, by which I mean when I experience anger or greed, I can look back and say, anger has arisen in me and see it, and anger arises, anger subsides. But when it comes to distraction, my worst one, it takes over so completely that my mindfulness is gone. There's no mind to stop it. And when I finally do come back to it, then I can recognize, okay, distraction came up in me, but I'm ashamed to say how quickly distraction comes up again, and the story continues. So I'm asking, what do I do with that?
I think first you must accept it's the nature of the mind. Buddha say in the Dhammapada, the mind wander at will. So you must accept it. It's the nature of the mind, right? So when the mindfulness is slow to catch it, it's fine. You just cannot force yourself, right? When mindfulness is slow to catch it, then at least you catch it. Satisfied, just like Stephen, I did it. Yeah. Wow, I did it. So when you catch one, satisfy yourself. After satisfy, then not, it's not I did it. It's not I did it. Huh? Mindfulness did it, not I did it. So you say, oh, mindfulness this time, mindfulness is good. Not my mindfulness. Mindfulness this time is good. To know it. When you know, in fact, if mindfulness is fast, for example, when you're thinking of something, then mindfulness arises, know it. When the arising of mindfulness, at that moment of arising of mindfulness, in fact, that thought has subsided already. Because two cannot come together, right? So when this thought is unwholesome things, this thought arises and mindfulness arises, know it. This is subside. When there's mindfulness, this thought is subside. It's just that we do not see it subside. We thought it continue. No, it subside already, but very quick another thought arises. So your mindfulness must be very firm, persistent. Hold the mindfulness, then you will see no thoughts. When there's no thought, quickly go back to the breath. Because if you don't quickly go to one object, the mind, the nature of the mind is to hang on the object. Hanging on the object. So when this thought disappears and there's nothing, you don't go back to the breath, then another thought will arise. Because the mind had to hang on one object, right? Therefore, you must train your mindfulness quick, take this thought, then go back to the breath. Then you will not see so many thoughts. Okay? I think the problem is that when you see the thought arise and passes away, you do not fall quickly go back to the breath. If you quickly go back to the breath, you will see the thought is kept at distance, not so frequent. When the mind is not stayed with one object, the mind is at restless state. This is sure. This mentioned by the Buddha. Because mind cannot live without object. So when your mind is not stayed with breath or not stay with pain or not stay with other things. Of course, it's a restless state. It's natural. So in order to cut short your wandering thought, once you mindfulness know there's thought, then go back to the breath quickly. Then if another thought arises, you know, then go back to the breath. At least you know this different thoughts. The thought is not continuous at all.
Okay.
Another way is that, just like I myself, when I go out do walking, when I'm not mindful, because when I'm not mindful, and the mind, the consciousness has to hang on one object, right? This is the nature of consciousness. So when I'm not mindful, let's say on my four elements, or on my breath, or on metta, and I can see the restless state of the mind. Because it's the nature. So when I see that restless state of mind, I feel a lot of suffering, a lot of oppressive of restlessness. That makes me feel oppression. I don't like it. So in order not to suffer oppressed by this restlessness, I quickly go back to my object. Because I don't want to suffer from restlessness. So what I want to say is, if you suffer enough from this restless thoughts or this unreal thoughts or created thoughts, if you suffer enough, you don't want it, then you will be more mindful. For example, essential thoughts. Essential thought, keep on thinking of woman or keep on thinking of man, keep on arise in you, and you know because you are not mindful. So in order not to be tortured by these thoughts, you've got to keep your mind at one object constantly so that your mind is protected. This is how I keep myself happy, right? Whenever I see restless, I also see unhappiness there. Okay, any other questions?
It's rather easy to see thoughts arise. Mm. And they vanish almost instantly when mindfulness looks at them. It's almost that they're gone by the time I really get a look at them. They're gone.
Yes, yes.
But I'm not able to see. I think what I was listening to Maureen the other day. Mm. It's happened so fast that I can't discern the five aggregates.
You see one aggregate enough. Don't see five together. Oh. See consciousness aggregate enough. That's don't see five together.
Going back to your experience when you do walking meditation and your mindfulness, when you look at the at the grass and some the nice air, what do you do? Do you just have your sati?
It depends on what I want. Even if I want to enjoy the pleasant of the forest, then I don't do anything. I just relax my mind.
Oh.
So long you don't attach to them, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
So long you don't, you just see, enjoy the beauty of the nature, it's no harm.
Just that.
Yeah. Then the danger is once you enjoy, keep on lingering in your mind, keep on thinking of it, there is danger. Once you see, let go of it, finished. You're not. Don't let it linger in your mind. That's fine. Okay? Okay, any other questions? Jonathan, no question today? Why you look so moody?
I think
I was out in the forest as you were talking. I'm saying it's very pretty out there.
No question? Is it okay today's?
Today's good.
Okay.
This all made sense.
Okay. So please apply it. So from today, we are going to practice mindfulness of mind. And during the interview, please report to me how you contemplate your mind, how it arises, how it ceases, and so on for the interview. I don't want to listen to your breath anymore. Okay, if you make progress in your breath, you tell me. At the same time, don't forget to report to me how you observe your mind. Okay?
So, when you say mind, at least in oftentimes, mm. you say mind.
Mm. M-I-N-D, mind.
Right, mm. mind, mm. instead of mind.
Yes. Right. In Western...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Western
these
country.
People couldn't see. Mind versus mind.
Okay. You know, in Western country, mind
right.
is here.
So most of my, mm. I've noticed, mm. the last several days mm. has definitely been around here.
Okay, good.
And that's far less easy to report on for me. I don't have much language around that. Mm. And it's not clear and precise the way when I have a thought with words or even images, I can articulate that clearly. But if I'm talking about what happened or if something comes up and it's, I don't have specific words for specific experiences. Is that just okay? You speak more vaguely?
No, it's okay, no problem. You don't care whether the mind is from here or mind is from here. Mind has no form, okay? Don't put aside the mind is from here or mind is from brain. Put aside this question. Put aside this question and express what you experience, that's all. Okay? Cheer up. Okay. Just now somebody want to ask something?
Can I just continue?
Okay.
Yesterday after Dharma talk, the moment I went outside, just amazing. I felt like totally my consciousness was like everywhere. I could, it was awareness of seeing everything, but it was the awareness and the consciousness was here, not here. So I just want
to. That's why I say put aside the where. Put aside the where. Where is not important.
Okay.
Huh? Your state of mind is more important. I give an example. For example, someone is shot by a poisonous arrow and is going to die. Then one physician come, okay, let me heal you and cure you.
Oh.
Then you say that, hold on please, tell me first, this arrow made by which country? Made in USA? Made in Australia or made in China? You tell me first, then I will allow you to extract the arrow and kill me. Okay, same thing. If you keep on, you know, spending your time, the mice from here or here, then it's like the person who was shot by arrow and still arguing where the mice. This is not an important issue. Important is you know your state of mind. That's all. Okay. Okay, enough for today. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. When you have time, read the booklet I give you.